drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Come on in to the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. And, of course, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube.com, just search ESPN Chicago. You can put that thing right up on your TV and watch us in high definition right there. You want to jump on into the show, 312-332-3776. Don't think many people are getting out and golfing today, but, hey, maybe some simulator action today. I do want to talk about that with you later, Mike, because I did hit X Golf for the first time earlier this week. And I had a great time there, so we will get all into that later on. I know you've been out and about hitting balls all across the area as well. Even though the weather's been down, there's still ways to get out and golf.
That's right. And good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Wish this temperature was a little bit warmer, but I know the diehards are heading out to, you know, battle the elements and bundle up and at least get some holes in today. But this is what you get in April in Chicago. Some days, you know, you're in shorts hitting balls, and the next thing you're wearing everything that you own.
Yeah, sometimes you're in shorts playing courses, too. Like, I think was the case with a lot of people last week when we got the 70s and 80s on Friday and Saturday, and even, I think, a little bit on Thursday as well. At 8:35, we will talk to Lucas Buechler from Northwestern Medicine, get you everything you need to know about staying healthy throughout the golf season. You don't want to go out there and injure yourself in round one or round two this early in April or May. So we'll talk with Lucas in a little bit. Also, Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network and the CDGA will join us at 9 o'clock. And Jim Nugent from the Global Golf Post at 9:35. Looking forward to all of that over the course of today's show. But we begin today with the biggest news in the golf world that came down earlier this week on, I believe it was Wednesday, when the announcement came out that Tiger Woods underwent surgery to address a post-traumatic arthritis in his right ankle that was caused by injuries suffered in that car wreck all the way back in 2021. And no timetable for his return yet, but we saw him pull out of the Masters with an injury. This, of course, contributing to some of that. And it's just, it's getting to the point now with Tiger where whenever you see these surgeries and they continue to mount up and these injuries, and you see him pull out of these events, whether it was the PGAs last year, whether it was the Masters this year, it's really tough for him to play four rounds. And it doesn't make you think, oh, can he win a major ever again? I think that ship, quite frankly, sailed a couple years ago at this point. And now it's going to get into, can he compete for in two rounds? Like, is two rounds going to be the cap for him now? Are we going to even see him in some of these events anymore?
And that's a great question. You know, unfortunately, as you say, the ship sailed. And I think it sailed when he crashed the car. Mm-hmm. His comeback has been nothing short of inspirational, right? Amazing, and to get it back to where it is. But it's amazing. Tiger's Achilles heel might be, in fact, his heel is what's going to stop him. And with your feet being so important in the swing, everybody thinks it's the arms, it's the legs, it's the this. It's your feet and ankles. I mean, those are what keep you grounded, literally, and allow you to create that leverage. And the amount of torque and twist that Tiger puts on that right foot when he goes through it, unfortunately, I think that's going to be the deterrent that's not going to allow him to play at a level that he's accustomed to playing. Now, will he be able to play like with you and me on a, you know, a little Nassau, which I'd love to see happen, quite frankly, but He could do that.
And kick our ass.
Four times, every which way but loose. But in his case, you know, he is a very proud individual. He won't let this go on much longer. I think he might make one more attempt, per se. But your point about being able to put four rounds is so spot on. You watched him walk at Augusta on round one, and he looked marvelous.
Right.
But then by Saturday, he
especially looked, when it got cold and rainy.
Exactly. He has to have perfect weather, perfect conditions, a golf course that's relatively flat, i.e. British Open. That's what he needs. And unfortunately, the rigors of what the PGA Tour calls for week in and week out, Tiger just can't keep up with it. And, you know, it's the surprise surgery heard around the golf industry this week. And I'm excited to talk to Dr. Buechler at 8:30 to get his take on all this.
And let's not forget, he's 47 years old. Like, you don't see guys at the peak of their powers in this sport, especially these days. And some of it is Tiger's own fault, because, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but he bred his competition. Look at all these guys on tour, and if you ask them who they looked up to as the golfer, who's the reason why you're golfing right now, a lot of them are going to say it's Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is the reason why I'm out here on this course, why I'm on the PGA Tour. And I think all of that is... whenever people talk about the greatest golfer, the golfer who had the biggest impact on the game, bar none, is Tiger Woods. You can say Jack this, Jack that, but what Tiger Woods did to breed his competition, to breed and make golf as popular as he did, like, part of the reason why he can't compete anymore is because he's the reason why golfers these days are so good, and why the base level of getting onto the PGA Tour is so difficult these days.
Absolutely, no doubt. You are so spot on with how Tiger has influenced this game in so many different fashions that Jack never could accomplish. But let's also be fair to Jack and Arnie. They didn't have the social media.
Right.
They didn't have a lot of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, yes, Tiger has created an environment out there that is so good. And one of the golfers, as you were talking, it made me think about Tony Finau. Tony Finau watched Tiger win in 1997, and he points directly to that moment as the moment he knew he wanted to be a golfer. And fast forward to 2019, when Tiger is in the final round, Tony Finau gets to play with him. So after about six holes, not a word is spoken on that final round, and Tony's getting a little uncomfortable. So after the seventh tee shots or the tee shots at seven, they're walking off the tee, and he tells Tiger, or asks Tiger, how are the kids? And he just said fine and kept walking with a stare dead straight down the fairway. And Tony knew that's his way of just telling me to just be quiet.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't speak to him until I congratulated him on winning Augusta. But that's the impact Tiger has. And now the young guys that watch Tiger are now having a chance to play with him, but it's not the same Tiger.
Right.
In fact, this Tiger, believe it or not, is built for LIV. But
yeah.
That conversation has already been here and gone, so I don't think he'd come back. But it'd be interesting if LIV were to start getting started now. I wonder if Tiger would look at it differently.
Yeah, and we know that was a nearly billion-dollar conversation that took place last year. I look at, too, like, when you brought up, like, the Tony Finau's playing with him, I always wondered, too, if you're ever in any sort of pool or anything, you look at those groupings for those first 2 days, and I always, with younger golfers, you always sort of wanted to stay away from the ones that were in Tiger's group, because the moment may have felt too big for them, and you're playing with your idol. Sometimes you get a little shaky with the hands at that point, right? But now it's at the point where, like, you look at a guy like Victor Hovland. He was in his group in the Masters to open up this year, and no problem for him.
Right.
He went out there, and he was among the leaders after day one and was still on in that top 10 after day two. And it's like, okay, the shine is still there, but maybe the bigness of the event of playing with Tiger Woods has lost a little bit of its luster, because we don't really see him competing to be one of these top 10s, even top 20s at this point in a lot of these events.
And, you know, a lot of these guys are so good, they're no longer intimidated.
Right.
It used to be such an intimidating factor when they knew, uh-oh, I'm in his group tomorrow. You know, and he didn't get much sleep. And these guys admitted to that fact. Now they've got to deal with the new crowds. They've never had the big crowds. Mm-hmm. He will bring all that. Tiger's very relaxed in that moment. But see, now Tiger, to your earlier point, created these great golfers, not only physically because of the fitness aspect he brought to the game, but the mental. They watched how strong Tiger's father made Tiger as a competitor, that mental edge. And if you don't think these guys sat up and took notice on how Tiger does that, they're doing the same thing. And they're not as intimidated by Tiger anymore. Right. And that becomes just another one of those little benchmarks in trying to, hey, I played in the group with Tiger. I actually beat Tiger. That's only going to breed more confidence for the younger players, especially those that really, really looked up to him growing up.
Yeah, and even though like the intimidation factor, like you mentioned, isn't what it once was with Tiger, like if you don't think these guys that now go out and beat him in their one or two rounds that they play with him, if you don't think these guys are holding on to that forever, even though it is 47-year-old broken-down Tiger Woods, they are.
Absolutely.
Just to be able to say, I went head-to-head, and maybe you beat him over the course of 2 days, too. I beat Tiger Woods. I finished ahead of Tiger Woods in this, that, and the other event. Like, I think that is still something that holds a lot of cachet for these younger guys, even some of the older guys as well that are maybe in their early, mid-30s, too.
Right, and, you know, even when you play with Tiger and you may not be, you know, in the featured group or in the final group, you're having to deal with these elements and all these people.
Right.
It's only going to make you better. And that's what happens. They, to your point, they're beating the GOAT. I mean, anytime you beat the GOAT in anything, in any right. sport, that's an accomplishment. So they're taking that with them. But they're also taking the experience of how it was to navigate walking from greens over to tees and having everybody sticking a pen and a hand and a this and a that out at you. And if you're not accustomed to that round in and round out, that becomes a distraction. It just simply does. And at the level that they play, the slightest of distractions can be enough to really ruin a good round. So having the ability to deal with all the people, all the distraction by playing with Tiger, I think helps these guys when they do find themselves in the final last group or two, three groups, and they're right in this hunt. I think they can draw back on the time they spent with the GOAT.
Right. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation, we're talking Tiger Woods here and the surgery that he has had to address some arthritis in his right ankle. Again, it is one of the things that held him out from finishing his rounds at Augusta as well. And, I mean, let's be honest. Like, even if you look back at what happened at Augusta, I wouldn't say he made the cut. I would say other guys missed it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the sad reality of what you look at when you see Tiger play in some of these rounds these days. And we even joked about it in the moment because when we were on that Saturday during the Masters, it was at that point they were going down the stretch and we were joking like, oh, is Justin Thomas, he needs to bogey one of these holes. Is he going to help his buddy out to get him in? I think it was him or Sungjae Im had to bogey, and I think they both ended up bogeying, but JT actually ends up bogeying twice down the stretch, and ultimately he's the one on the outside looking in. But we were joking about that, and that's just kind of the way that Tiger's career has gone towards the end, and who would have thought it would be Phil outlasting Tiger at this point in their lives and their careers, even though Phil significantly older than him as well. But here we are in 2023, and Phil's playing well down in Australia right now, and Phil was fantastic at Augusta.
Yep.
So it's certainly been a interesting close to those chapters right now. But if you want to jump on into the conversation, hey, maybe you don't think Tiger's done. Tell us why, because sure, people thought he was done in 2019, and he came out and won the Masters that year. So what do you think? Does he have one last stretch in him? Does he have one last run in him? 312-332-3776. Talking Tiger Woods with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. The segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too. But more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, talking some Tiger Woods with you this morning. As the news came down earlier this week, about midway through the week, that Tiger will be undergoing surgery on his right ankle to address some post-traumatic arthritis. And obviously that was a big part of why he pulled out of the Masters in those final rounds after making the cut. And we've been talking a little bit about, is this it for Tiger? And it feels like we've started to have a couple of these moments now compound on themselves. Like, sure, we saw him finish the Masters back in 2022, a year ago, but even that looked like a Herculean effort for him to get through those four rounds. And then we see at the PGAs, he has to withdraw because, I mean, that was not an easy course to play, going up and down and up and down out in Tulsa. And now we're seeing at the Masters, it's even more difficult for him. And now it looks like we have reached the final chapter. Maybe he plays a few more events. I wouldn't expect him to be all that competitive in any of them just because of what we've seen, even when he has looked at his best as of late. But pretty much since the car crash, it has not been the same for Tiger Woods. And it does really feel like the end, unfortunately, for one of the greatest to ever step onto a course.
Yeah, it looks like Superman has discovered some of the kryptonite. Mm-hmm. And it looks like his career is coming to a close in more of an abrupt way, in a way that I guess many of us never really thought it would end like this. But it's going to be interesting when I ask the doctor, when he comes on at 8:30, just to get his take on it. But I don't know that we're going to see Tiger the rest of this season.
No.
So that means the next time we could potentially see him, he's going to be 48 years old. And it'll probably be back at Augusta.
Yeah.
Unless he goes to maybe, you know, Riviera, because that's his event. He's so tied to that. But there was a saying, or the thought, that, you know, Tiger always has a chance to win at Augusta. But is Augusta not flat enough anymore for his situation? And does the situation become more compounded with the fusion that he had in that ankle? And that's one of the questions I want to ask the doctor, is how realistic, I mean, if are we taking away the pain, but are we also taking away mobility that's going to be crucial for a guy like him to be able to perform at the level that he needs to? And I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think if we have another shot, it's just going to have to be warm weather, flat golf course, and U.S. Open and PGA championships are generally not that.
Right.
It would have to be a British Open.
So Mark Steinberg, his agent, gave this quote to talking about it. First of all, he said there's no timetable on his return.
Exactly.
That's always a red flag right out of the gate. And then on top of that, too, he says the first goal is to recover and lead a much more enjoyable day-to-day life. And that kind of gives you a glimpse into the window of just how difficult it is for him to gear up and perform in a golf tournament. And forget the fact that these are majors, too. Like, any golf tournament. I don't think there is an event in the world at the professional level that this guy could go out and win right now in his current condition. And even when he does end up recovering, like, it's going to be extremely difficult for him. And of course, we're not going to see him at some of the lower tier PGA Tour events ever again. But even now, even in just the majors, like, do we even see him finish in a top 20 ever again? I think, quite frankly, I don't think we ever get to that point again with him.
No, and I mean, you know, you got to remember, he almost had his right leg amputated.
Right.
That's something I think, as golf fans, we file way back in our memory, because we don't really want to admit that our Superman became so vulnerable that that almost happened to him. But when his agent comes out with the statement you just read and how he just wants to have just a quality of life about himself mm-hmm. and being able to enjoy the years walking around and watching Charlie.
Right.
I mean, I think his priorities as life has turned over the last 10 years for him has really matured him in a way that I think his priorities are now a little bit different than they were, say, 10, 15 years ago, for sure. And I think Tiger wants to enjoy life. And if he's not able to perform at this level now, I don't foresee him going out to the Champions Tour. I don't know that he'd want to waste his time.
I don't think he wants to. Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, you bring up just the shift we've sort of seen in his personality, too, like, and where he may want to be with his life, too, and watching Charlie. But we've seen a shift in who he is on the golf course as a person, not as a player, but as a person. He used to be very stoic. Do not talk to Tiger, right? Now he's a little more affable, a little more lovable on the course, more engaging with some of these guys, like, and even just to the degree of taking some of them under his wing, too, like a Justin Thomas. Like, 10 years ago, that doesn't happen.
No.
Maybe even like 5 to 7 years ago, that doesn't happen.
And you mentioned Justin Thomas. He shared a story the other day about Tiger that is very telling. You know, he had enough gumption to finally have a conversation with him when he played with him for the very first time. So after the round was over and he felt a little comfortable, he went up to Tiger and just basically said, you know, so what do you think? Like, of his own game. He wanted Tiger to basically, you know, give a review of what he thought of Justin Thomas. And he looked at him and he just said, huh. He goes, you just don't have enough shots to win out here. And so Justin Thomas took that to heart. But he was like, he was as honest and as a matter of fact with me. But he goes, he was dead on right. Mm-hmm. And so that's how Justin Thomas became good. And Justin Thomas is the guy who has an insight now to Tiger that really most other players just don't have. They have become very good friends down on Jupiter Island, where they both live and play quite a bit, you know, outside the PGA Tour together and pal around. And but it's true. We are now seeing Tiger, you know, taking on guys and mentoring them.
Right.
You know, and I don't know that anyone was out mentoring Tiger, but no. Tiger is going to pay it forward. And right. I think that's so cool to see.
Right. Especially because a lot of these guys, and we kind of talked about it earlier, but he bred his own competition. And you don't see that with a lot of athletes out there, especially in individual type sports. So do you have a favorite Tiger Woods moment? If this is sort of, I doubt we're going to see anything surpass some of the stuff that we've already seen. But is there a favorite Tiger Woods moment in your mind?
Well, there would be at least one or two from a major's perspective. And they both happen at Augusta. I just happen to be fortunate enough to be able to be at the first Masters he won, and that made an impact on the golf world like nothing I've ever mm-hmm. seen before. It wasn't any one great moment. It was just that red sweater on 18 with the fist pump. That really was the whole start of this thing. But the memory that I have from Augusta is the chip in at 16.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is iconic and will always be. Where it happened, how it happened, and to the dramatic fashion with the Nike logo,
yep.
just saying, here I am, watch me disappear now. And it was just, I mean, it was, the star is performing when called on, center stage.
And I think if you ask Phil Knight, too, he'll talk about that as being probably his favorite Tiger moment out there. That's one of my favorites as well. I saw a video the other day, actually, it was Vern Lundquist talking about that shot because he was on the call for that. And he was saying how there was this moment where, okay, the ball looks like it's going to stop. And the producer is telling the director, cut back to Tiger. We need his reaction. Cut to Tiger. Cut to Tiger. Cut to Tiger. And the director, I just looked up his name, Steve Milton.
Yep.
Doesn't cut. He stays on it. He stays on it, and boom, he's rewarded once that ball drops into the cup. So we almost did not see one of the most iconic shots in golf history, all because of a director's instincts that is a part of our memory banks now.
That's amazing. And, you know, and I know Lance Barrow, who was the guy saying to Steve, cut back, cut back, cut back. But Steve knew that that ball was not done moving. And kudos to him for capturing perhaps one of the most iconic shots I've ever seen in a major. But then outside of a major, it's got to be the hole-in-one at Waste Management. It's got to be. It was just amazing.
And I'll of course, never forget the 2019 Masters as well. I think that's where Gideon and Skokie falls to. Gideon, what's going on?
Hey, Tyler. I agree completely with you that 2019 Masters with him in the red shirt on hole 18 walking up the fairway, like that was emotional. And like I remember crying when I watched it, especially when you compare that first Masters win when he was wearing red. It was like a much uglier shirt back in the day. And then comparing the video to 2019, like it was just so meaningful to see him. He's obviously been the best golfer of my lifetime, me being in my 30s. So he's been the best golfer of my lifetime. And after he withdrew from the Masters this past Masters, I told my friend, I think this is the end of Tiger as we know him and we appreciate him. I think he might golf in one or more of the majors here and there, but I think he's ultimately done other than the majors because I think he wants to catch Jack. And I don't think he's going to, but I think that's what he has in mind, and that's why he's sticking around and even having this surgery, which will possibly enable him to get back to golf shape.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Gideon. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation as well, talking some Tiger Woods, we will talk to Dr. Lucas Buechler coming up next. He will tell you everything you need to know about making sure you are in shape for your start of your golf season, making sure we avoid some of those early season injuries, and also give us a little bit of insight into what exactly is going on with Tiger Woods right now and his recovery. All that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, the segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Talking all things about golf with you. And let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Dr. Lucas Buechler from Northwestern Medicine. He joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Lucas. How are you?
Great. How are you all doing?
We are doing fantastic. Great. Wish the weather was a little bit nicer so we could get out there. But let's start with what's going on with Tiger Woods. The news came out earlier this week that he is undergoing surgery to address some post-traumatic arthritis in his right ankle. And this is a subtalar fusion procedure to help out with what's going on in his foot. But do you have any sort of timetable of what this might look like, when we could potentially see Tiger Woods back in action after a procedure like this?
It's really difficult to say in a scenario like this. So a subtalar fusion is typically performed for what's called subtalar arthritis. When we think about the ankle, there's a number of joints, but the main ones are, there's a bone called the talus that sits in the middle, which articulates with the tibia or the shin bone. And then below the talus is the calcaneus or the heel bone. Most likely he had some sort of talar injury, and talus injuries are notorious for poor blood supply. And so sometimes when that bone's put back together, it won't heal fully, or parts of the bone can die off, a condition called osteonecrosis. And what happens is that results in a condition called post-traumatic arthritis. So it's very different than your typical subtalar arthritis. Now, folks can get arthritis in that joint with or without breaking their talus. That's a little bit more of a predictable pattern in terms of do the surgery and get the bone to fuse. The bone will typically fuse in anywhere from 3 to 4 months and then progress the activity from there. But the challenge is you can't really stress that until that bone is healed together. When it's post-traumatic, sometimes you're dealing with things like bone loss where there's missing pieces of bone. You may have to augment the fusion to try to get it to heal. So it's a lot more variable. But I would say, it's a minimum of 3 to 4 months before the bone is going to be healed in any capacity to where he's going to be able to do much on it athletically. And so my guess would be something like 6 months to a year.
Doctor, thanks for joining us. And in this procedure, will Tiger then be relieved of all of his pain, most of his pain? But to get to that point, will he have then a loss of movement? And if so, how much?
So I think he'll have significant pain relief from that portion of the injury. He had a number of other injuries at that time as well. And I don't know how much of his residual symptoms are related to the other injuries. He had a broken tibia, that's my understanding, and a few other things. But the fusion is, once healed, is very reliable for relieving pain coming from that arthritic joint. But it's very hard to know if this is going to completely relieve him. I mean, I think we saw him in the last few tournaments limping around a bit. My guess is that was mostly related to this, but very difficult to know for certain. And to answer your question about the mobility, there will be some loss of mobility. The subtalar joint is responsible for what allows the ankle to kind of wobble side to side a little bit. So his foot will be a little bit stiffer. But functionally, now and again, we have to look back. Most of what we know about this is from your standard subtalar fusion for arthritis. Post-traumatic scenario is a lot different. But to most people watching him walk with a subtalar fusion wouldn't know the difference. It'll feel a little different to him. But he won't. Most people watching closely wouldn't be able to really tell the difference in terms of a loss of mobility. And the other side of that is that he's likely had very little mobility there as of late since this injury anyways. Mm. So hopefully will not be a significant degradation.
Dr. Lucas Buechler from Northwestern Medicine is our guest on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So Dr. Buechler, when you look at everything that goes into making sure that these guys are right to get into a tournament, I think it kind of got brought to the light of from the Netflix series Full Swing, and where you see the rehab process that some of these guys that are injured are going through, or just what it takes to get them ready for a golf tournament. I think some of that even applies to the everyday golfer, especially in this area where you don't really get the winters to play or practice around here. A lot of people are going in dry to that first round of the year. What are some things that people should be doing to make sure they are ready and not getting and dealing with some of these early season injuries?
I think it's something that we all struggle with. It's easy because many of us play golf recreationally, and we see it as, it's a fun activity that we're going to go out and do with some friends. But people tend to, for some reason, their frame of reference is a little bit different than other athletic activities. For example, we've all had the experience of, pulling into the course 10 minutes before a tee time and walking up to the first tee cold and taking a swing. But not many of us would play in a baseball game without playing catch beforehand, or play in a basketball game without taking a few warm-up shots and things like that. But with golf, folks do it all the time. And so I think changing, that reference a little bit of, just even some simple things, just a little bit of walking, mobility, stretching. I mean, ideally to get to the driving range and take a few swings, but if nothing else, just a little bit of mobility work to do a little bit of warm-up beforehand, I think could really help folks out.
And I think probably how about getting up on time to give yourself that time? Right, Doc?
Certainly, certainly. And again, I hate to say I'm not guilty of it from time to time as well. I've been there. I have been there. But there's no doubt that it's better and safer to, like you said, get up early, get there on time, get some warm-up in, just like you would for any other sporting event.
Well, yeah, because like today, it's, low 40s. We're going out there. We probably are trying to stay warm as long as we can, and then we walk out, and then we pick up the driver and don't warm up. And that is probably one of the worst things that we can do early season, wouldn't you say?
Certainly. No, I certainly agree. And we see quite a bit, you know, folks with low back issues, hamstring pain. And fortunately, those are mostly recoverable. They're a frustration. They're going to knock a few weeks of your season out. But also, sometimes we see more significant injuries where folks, you know, having rotator cuff tears or injure a meniscus in their knee. And again, not all of that can prove to be prevented. Sometimes accidents and incidents happen. But I think a lot of it can be.
Dr. Lucas Buechler from Northwestern Medicine is our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Dr. Buechler, what are the most common injuries that you see early on, and what are some things people can do to make sure that those aren't some of the early speed bumps that they have this early in the golf season?
I think the most common thing we see is muscular injuries, and whether that's low-grade strains with a little bit of back tightness, or other things like that. The challenge with those low-grade muscular injuries, though, is if they're not addressed, if, say, you play on a Friday and the back is tightened up or the hamstrings are really tight and you can't get it loosened up and you go back out on Sunday, I think that's when folks are really at risk for injury, is when you're trying to deal with the stiffness and the tightness from muscle injury, trying to alter the swing pattern or not doing things quite normally. That's when folks are at risk for a more significant injury. But I think most of it is what we talked about, is a little bit of preparation. Even, you know, unfortunately dealing with this bad weather, but taking advantage of some of this time, just for general fitness and mobility, doing some stretching, whether it's yoga or some other activities, doing some general core strengthening activities, all of those things can help prevent injuries on the course.
And that's when you're on the course swinging. Now, let's go to the to the chapter of the absurd. How about people when they enter and exit a bunker, or the people who try to navigate a hazard by jumping over them early in the season? I bet you've had some crazy situations arrive right on your medical table.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen a number of meniscal injuries from folks taking an awkward step out of a bunker. You might have a bunker with a high front side, and, you know, rather than walking out the flat backside, decide we're going to, you know, step up and over and have a slip on some uneven, unsteady ground there and twist their knee a bit and, you know, have a meniscal injury. We've seen that from time to time. You know, you'll also see some, we've seen some shoulder injuries from folks catching a root underneath it, you know, didn't see it. So we see some crazy stuff. A lot of times, you know, folks that aren't around it much, people come in and say, got hurt playing golf. And they say, how on earth did you get hurt playing golf? But it's a lot more stressful on the body than I think most people appreciate.
Dr. Lucas Buechler from Northwestern Medicine, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And best of luck with you in your golf season. And hopefully not a lot of people have to visit you because of some golf injuries this year.
I hope so. We're never cheering for injuries, that's for sure. I hope everybody's healthy, but we're happy to help out.
That's Dr.
You,
Lucas Buechler. Appreciate his time here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Mike, when we come back, I did something for the first time that I've never done before in the golf world, and I want to share that with you because I was thoroughly impressed with my experience with it. So we will do that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
By Tullymore Golf Resort, experience a Michigan masterpiece. It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, or you can catch us on YouTube as well. Just search ESPN Chicago to watch the show live on YouTube. Been talking a lot of Tiger Woods this morning. We'll be joined by Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network and CDGA coming up in about 8 minutes from now here on the CDGA Golf Show. But first, let's head on out to Harvard. That's where Tom is. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning. First, I really like you two as commentators better than anybody I've heard in a long time in the Chicago area. Anyway, my favorite, one of my favorite is when this is very early in his career, he was playing Tom Lehman in a playoff. Mm-hmm. And it was pouring rain, and they had to find a hole on the course that was playable. So they play on this par three, and Tom hit first. It went into the water, and then Tiger hit it to 6 inches from the cup. That's when I knew he was the real deal.
And you know what? You bring up a great point, Tom, that after Lehman hit it in the water, the announcer said, oh, Tiger will just hit this somewhere over in the middle of the green. He won't
play
even
it safe.
Yeah, play it safe. He won't even flirt with the water. And to Tom's point, it may have even been less than 6 inches. That thing was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I knew he was real.
Yeah. Great call, Tom.
So you guys remember that shot, though, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I do. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, imagine it, because if you remember, they had to get up the next day. This wasn't as if this had just ended. They had to get up the next day to create this playoff. So they warmed up. He hits it in the water. Tiger takes one swing and wins. That's it. It was a day of warm-up, one swing, a tap-in, and let's go home.
Do you remember if that was before the Masters, the first Masters he won, or is it? That must have been before, because, yeah.
I think actually it was after, but I could be off. I could be off on that one.
But
just one of the more iconic shots, and he's got a laundry list of them. But Tom, you're right. That was that early in his career. That was a benchmark moment.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, Tom. You have a good one.
Okay, you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
That's Tom in Harvard right there, sharing one of his favorite Tiger moments. So that was the '97 Mercedes Championships.
So it was.
So yes, it was. It would have been slightly before that took place. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the conversation? So I was telling you before the break, I had done something I'd never done golf-wise before, and I loved it. Loved every bit of it. And it was, I went to X Golf for the first time. This was last Sunday I went, and it was, I mean, you've talked to me about simulators. I had never done simulator golf up until this past weekend. And remember, it was beautiful out on Saturday, but then Sunday, God, crummy out. It was rainy a little bit. It was cold. You couldn't play a golf round on Sunday, but you could play a simulator round. And so me and a buddy went over to X Golf, and it was a lot of, I had a blast with it. It was a different experience, but it was everything that anyone who's told you about simulator golf, it's everything that it's made out to be. And it was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable. And the best part about it is that there's pace to it. It's quick. You can get it all wrapped up in probably an hour 45, depending how many people you're with, but hour 45 to 2 hours for a round. And it just chops down. Like, you hear about the pitch clock in baseball, right? It's chopping out the dead time. That's exactly what this is. It chops out the dead time. It chops out the path you're taking on your cart, trying to find your ball. Are you behind the tree? Where are you? Or did you go into the water here? Are you fishing around for a ball? It cuts all of that out, and you just get up, step, and shoot. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it sounds like you got bit by the simulator bug, like a lot of us have this winter.
Mm-hmm.
And you got bit by a good bug. X Golf's software, the sensors that they use are uncanny, unlike most any other sim software that's out there. So it really plays, I feel, the most realistic than any others that I've tried. Because then they also have the putting element,
right,
which a lot of them, you know, you got to chip it, or you got to do something, or you just got to accept two putts. And if it's outside of a certain range, you got to accept three putts, which I think is kind of bogus. Mm-hmm. But I think X Golf does a tremendous great job in really creating as close to real golf feel and playability in an indoor setting than any others out there. And yeah, I mean, are some people saying, well, yeah, it's indoor, it's on a simulator? Well, no kidding. I mean, but we live in an environment where about 8 months of the year you really can't play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And today, another probably a good simulator day.
Yeah.
And with 10 and soon to be 12 or 13 of these locations around Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you went to the one in Wrigleyville?
Wrigleyville, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I go to the one out in Downers Grove quite often, and mm-hmm. eventually over to Orland Park if I'm near the office. But these things are amazing. And actually,
if you just go there and practice just the range itself, you get all the yes. measurements, mm-hmm. you can actually just go practice in the, to your point about chopping out the dead time, an individual can play 18 holes in less than an hour. Two yeah. people, it's like for every person, just add an hour. So right. if you have a foursome, you'll be done in 4 hours or less. And chances are it'll be more like 3.5.
And I asked the guy there too. I was like, so how long does it take for like just one person to play 18? He's like, oh, 45 minutes to an hour.
Exactly.
And I was like, 45 minutes to an hour?
Yeah.
Like, that, you're flying through the course at that point.
And tell me that does not speak well to the younger generation
yes.
who's trying mm-hmm. to get into this game. And if you've never played the game, if you start there, then I think you can get yourself prepared right. to go on outside and then have to understand, yeah, there's going to be the transition of walking or riding to my ball, looking for your ball, and mm-hmm. those kinds of things. But from an ability to keep our game somewhat sharp and during the terrible months of winter that we experience here, simulator golf is about as good as it's going
to
get.
Right. And I think one of the best parts, too, is you brought up, like, just go to the practice range, is that sort of driving range element, too.
Yeah.
Where just warm up, hit some shots, and
then
just
maybe
kinda
play a few holes.
Yeah. Exactly. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And you can they've got some legendary courses on there that you may sure. never step foot on. So why not do it virtually? When we come back, we'll talk with Eric Ciani, Big Ten Network, and CDGA. Tell us what's going on at the Big Ten Championships. That's next on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf, without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.